The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from the Facebook group Assistive Technology Community for the Blind and Visually Impaired, posted by Matt Etter, A-T-E-R, on February 7th. I've been trying to get to this for weeks and decided to lead with it. Do you ever eat out at restaurants or perhaps order takeout? If so, we would like to hear from you. Vispero, V-I-S-P-E-R-O, a digital accessibility company, are conducting research into the restaurant experience of people who are blind or low vision. We would be grateful if you could spare no more than 10 minutes to complete a short survey and tell us about your restaurant experiences, both good and not so good. The survey can be found at https://www.surveymonkey.com/r/restaurant-accessibility and at https://www.surveymonkey.com/r/restaurant-accessibility. Don't know if there's a difference, but that's what it is. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Many thanks, Matt. And there's a link, of course. Posted by Darren Reed in the group, D-A-R-R-I-N-R-E-I-D. GE Appliances improves access for visually impaired consumers. For quite some time now, people with vision loss have gained increasing audible access to digital displays and touchscreens on electronic devices. Such advances in accessibility have not yet materialized in most major household appliances. Meanwhile, we figure out what we need from the appliance and how to get the job done. Depending on the appliance and personal preference, the solution may be simple or complex. The best approach often comes down to focusing on frequently used functions. Cooking on a stovetop or in the oven generally requires familiarity with a few temperature settings. Similar strategies are implemented for the use of washer, dryer, dishwasher. Food gets cooked, laundry and dishes get washed, often on the same settings day after day. In lieu of innovation, GE Appliances is offering a DIY kit as a workaround. The Access Kit was created in partnership with the American Printing House for the Blind, APH. In a press release dated February 27, 2024, the appliance maker described the kit as the most comprehensive set of tactile stickers for appliances. With over 400 stickers, representing the 80 most commonly used settings, the kit is designed to make thousands of GE appliances more accessible for everyone, and it can be used on non-GE appliances as well. The clear adhesive stickers are placed over the appliance label, allowing the label to show through. They include both tactile symbols and Braille. The announcement noted, while Braille is the standard, fewer than 10% of the 1.3 million people who are legally blind in the United States are Braille readers. Our number one goal with this offering is to make appliances more accessible for everyone, said Chris Bissig, B-I-S-S-I-G, Director of Experience Brand Language at GE Appliances. Our research showed that a lot of blind and low vision consumers are devising their own complex systems just to navigate the settings on their appliances, making simple household tasks incredibly difficult. This kit ensures everyone can feel confident using their GE appliances. We are so grateful to our partners at American Printing House for the Blind, a true authority in this space, for helping us bring this product to life and make everyday living easier for those who are blind or low vision. The Access Kit can be purchased at www.geappliancesparts.com for $19.99. However, the published link does not connect to an Access Kit purchase page. We have reached out to GE Appliances for a corrected link and will update upon their reply. That article was reposted to the Assistive Tech page from ophthalmicedge.org. From afb.org, Editor's Page, celebrating Low Vision Awareness Month. Welcome to the first Access World issue of the year, Winter 2024. AI, as has been true in the past, we once again celebrate Low Vision Awareness Month. At the beginning of the month, we published our fifth episode of the Access World podcast, where our special guest, former Access World editor Lee Huffman, discussed accessibility for people with low vision on the web. You can find the podcast on our site at the previous link or on your podcast app of choice. To close out the month, we will be posting a blog post from Access World's author, Steve Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, detailing the various tools you can use as someone with low vision to accomplish various tasks from work to leisure. You can find our blog at afb.org/blog. We frequently post Access World-related content between Access World issues on the blog. We begin this issue with an article I wrote detailing some tips and suggestions for writing image descriptions and audio description for video content. There are many helpful resources discussing best practices for this type of content creation, and I share several in this piece. Breanne Cox, B-R-E-E-A-N-C-O-X, who has been featured in Access World previously and recently graduated from our Talent Lab program, describes the actions that can be taken to make the web more accessible for people with low vision. We think this is an important topic to discuss separate from general accessibility for people who use screen readers due to the differing requirements for full accessibility. Deborah Erickson, who lost her vision later in life, is the owner of The Blind Kitchen, an online store offering cooking tools. Erickson completed culinary school after losing her vision, so her site also includes information to aid people who are blind or low vision in using the tools they purchased from her store. In this article, Jenna Ingber interviews Erickson about her personal vision loss and employment journey, while also providing details on The Blind Kitchen site. Graduated AFB Talent Lab apprentice Daniel Hawkins has written an article on making video games accessible for people who are deafblind. He details the various possible permutations of combined vision and hearing loss and provides suggestions on how games could be adapted for each. I want to give a major shout out to the authors who contributed to this issue for their hard work, and thank you for being an Access World reader. I hope you find the information in this issue helpful and a benefit to you in your endeavors. As always, if you have any questions or comments, you can reach me by email, aprece@afb.org. Sincerely, Aaron Preece, Access World Editor-in-Chief. From HelenKeller.org, we have Meet the Representatives and Specialists in Your Region. Regional Services Coordinator Marilyn Trader. Marilyn Trader is the Regional Services Coordinator covering Kentucky, North Carolina, Puerto Rico, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Her experience related to this field includes acting as a vocational rehabilitation counselor for deafblind consumers under the Division of Services for the Blind in North Carolina and a mental health social worker for the deaf, hard of hearing, and deafblind in North Carolina for 10 years under Wake County Mental Health Services. Prior to moving to North Carolina, she worked at Gallaudet University in the graduate school office and as a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. with guidance from staff at the university and across the country, presenting at universities all over the United States on cultural diversity inclusion programs. Marilyn attended Illinois State University with a bachelor's degree in psychology and a concentration in political science. She attended Gallaudet University with a master's degree in social work with a focus on the deafblind community. A goal of Region 4B is to continue to build capacity in each state through interagency collaboration, joint projects, events, and new programs that consumers can obtain within their home state. Programs range from support service providers to the expansion of field services to enable consumers to reach their goals. Her contact information is Marilyn Trader, Regional Services Coordinator, voice 919-585-5428. Mobile phone 516-417-0038. Email mtrader@helenkeller.org. Her assistant, Janice Hanvey, H-A-N-V-E-Y, phone 516-393-7733, fax 516-393-7597, Mobile 516-350-1026 and email jhanvey@helenkeller.org. From today.oregonstate.edu, researchers closing in on genetic treatments for hereditary lung disease, vision loss. Dateline Portland, Oregon. Researchers who work with tiny drug carriers known as lipid nanoparticles have developed a new type of material capable of reaching the lungs and the eyes, an important step toward genetic therapy for hereditary conditions like cystic fibrosis and inherited vision loss. The study led by Gaurav Sahay, G-U-A-R-A-V-S-A-H-A-Y, and Yulia Aygeris, Y-U-L-I-A-E-Y-G-E-R-I-S, of the Oregon State University College of Pharmacy, and Renee Riles, R-Y-A-L-S, of Oregon Health and Science University, is being published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Unlike other types of lipid nanoparticles that tend to accumulate in the liver, the ones in this study, based on the compound thiophene, T-H-I-O-P-H-E-N-E, are able to navigate their way to the tissues of the lungs and retina, where they deliver their therapeutic payload. The researchers refer to these new lipids as thiolipids. The collaboration demonstrated by using animal models the possibility of using thiolipids in lipid nanoparticles to deliver messenger RNA, the technology underpinning COVID-19 vaccines, to combat genetic blindness and pulmonary disease. These nanoparticles filled with fatty lipids can encapsulate genetic medicines like mRNA and CRISPR-Cas9 gene editors, which can be used to treat and even cure rare genetic diseases, said AJ. Jarris, a senior research associate at OSU. Chemical structures of the lipids determine how potent are the lipid nanoparticles and which organ they can reach from the bloodstream. Lipids are organic compounds containing fatty tails and are found in many natural oils and waxes. And nanoparticles are tiny pieces of material ranging in size from 1 to 100 billionth of a meter. Messenger RNA delivers instructions to cells for making a particular protein. With the coronavirus vaccines, the mRNA carried by the lipid nanoparticles instructs cells to make a harmless piece of the virus's spike protein, which triggers an immune response from the body. As a therapy for vision impairment resulting from inherited retinal degeneration, the mRNA would instruct cells in the retina, which don't work right because of a genetic mutation, to manufacture the proteins needed for sight. Inherited retinal degeneration, commonly abbreviated to IRD, encompasses a large group of disorders of varying severity and prevalence that affect one out of every few thousand people worldwide. One example of a genetic pulmonary condition is cystic fibrosis, a progressive disorder that results in persistent lung infection and affects 30,000 people in the U.S., with about 1,000 new cases identified every year. One faulty gene, the cystic fibrosis transmembrane conductance regulator, or CFTR, causes the disease, which is characterized by lung dehydration and mucus buildup that blocks the airway. The thiophene-based lipid nanoparticle study, which involved mice and non-human primates, stems from a $3.2 million grant to Sahay and Riles from the National Eye Institute. The grant's purpose is addressing limitations associated with the current primary means of delivering for gene editing. Delivery for gene editing, a type of virus known as adeno-associated virus, or AAV. AAV has limited packaging capacity compared to lipid nanoparticles, and it can prompt an immune system response, said Sahay, a professor of pharmaceutical sciences. It also doesn't do fantastically well in continuing to express the enzymes an editing tool uses as molecular scissors to make cuts in the DNA to be edited. Sahay calls the thiolipid findings highly encouraging, but says more studies are needed, including research on the lipids' long-term impact on retinal health. But we think our results serve as proof of concept, and we will continue to explore thiolipids in a potential treatments of pulmonary and retinal genetic diseases, he said. Other OSU College of Pharmacy researchers contributing to the study were Mohit Gupta, Yongwang Kim, that's J-E-O-N-G-H-W-A-N, K-I-M, Anthony Jozic, J-O-Z-I-C, Milan Galpam, G-A-U-T-A-M, Jonas Renner, Dylan Nelson, and Alyssa Bloom. In addition to the National Eye Institute, funding and research support were provided by the Oregon National Primate Research Center and the Casey Eye Institute. From fightingblindness.org, influencing positivity for the disabled community. As a full-time content creator and social media influencer, 26-year-old Stephanie Renberg is no stranger to expressing herself and sharing her opinions with the digital world. But accepting her authentic self didn't always come easily. Stephanie's father is in the military, so growing up, her family moved often. In the fourth grade, while living in Turkey, Stephanie remembers having trouble seeing the front board at school and asking her peers for help. Her teacher also noticed and let Stephanie's parents know. Her parents took her to an eye doctor, but they couldn't correct her vision with glasses, so she was recommended to a specialist in Germany, which then led her back to the U.S. to the National Eye Institute, where Stephanie was finally diagnosed with Stargardt disease. No one else in Stephanie's family has Stargardt disease or any visual impairments, so this news was jarring, and her parents had difficulty handling the emotional side of her diagnosis. "My parents treated me as if nothing happened," Stephanie recalls. "So I had this huge diagnosis, and then we didn't talk about it at all," which was just very confusing as a child. In middle school, when my peers would ask about my magnifiers, I would just say I have Stargardt disease and never went beyond that. But in high school, as my vision loss progressed more rapidly and I became legally blind, it was more difficult to hide my blindness. Stephanie felt grateful for the resources she was given when she was first diagnosed, and in high school she had a vision specialist, Miss Martin, who changed her life. "My vision specialist had experience with vision loss since her mom was blind, and she was the first person to act like it was normal and to not act so negatively toward blindness," Stephanie recalls. "I was so used to my blindness making people uncomfortable and being a taboo topic that no one wanted to talk about." She called assistive technology blind person toys, which made it fun for me for the first time. After high school, Stephanie went on to pursue a Bachelor of Science in Sustainable Biomaterials. However, after having so much support in her schooling prior, she suddenly found it extremely difficult to get her professors to accommodate her disability. After countless efforts, Stephanie compiled all the emails to professors who were denying her requests for accommodations and sent them to the Civil Rights and Equity Department at her university, and she got a call back immediately. "Because I advocated for myself, it was completely changed overnight," says Stephanie. "But it's upsetting. You have to take to a legal place to get people to abide by the law for someone with a disability." Similarly, after graduating college, Stephanie entered the corporate world for a year, where she also experienced the lack of accommodations she needed. So she left the workforce. Although these were very negative experiences for Stephanie, they did help her start to become more comfortable in speaking up for herself and talking about her disability. In pursuit of helping others with disabilities like herself, Stephanie decided to start her first social media pages in December 2019. She admits that at the time she had no idea what she was doing, posting any content that she wanted to at first. Stephanie began to spend a lot of time studying other creators on social media and algorithms. One day, she posted a video showing how she uses her iPhone as a blind person, and it went viral. So she continued posting more content on blindness education and assistive technology. Stephanie's social media presence continued to expand, and in June of 2022, she secured her first brand deal. Now, her social media pages have grown exponentially, with 92,000-plus followers on Instagram, 40,000-plus followers on TikTok, and 29,000-plus subscribers on YouTube. It's been a long journey for Stephanie to feel like she's finally accepted her diagnosis with Stargardt disease. She still feels hesitant to talk about her diagnosis with new people in person, since she's had so many difficult encounters over the years, but it's easier for her to talk about it online. "Growing up, I had never met anyone with a visual impairment, and it felt very isolating," says Stephanie. "But once I got on social media, that changed quickly. There are so many people I've interacted with and become friends who have Stargardt like me. I've been in other support groups, but I always suggest Blind Talk because it's videos and talking, so it's super accessible. Now that Stephanie is able to create social media content full-time, she's moved to Los Angeles, California to pursue acting and singing, a dream of hers for a long time. She's also planning to expand her business and grow her brand as Better Blind. So many people who are newly diagnosed with a blinding disease reach out to me about what to do next, says Stephanie. So I want to help those people access resources available, since they can be difficult to find and navigate when first diagnosed. I want to use this platform to provide free resources, but also support other disabled creators and artists. Even with her new business adventures, Stephanie wants to continue using her voice on social media to help raise awareness about disabilities like Stargardt disease, and to make a difference in those who may be struggling to accept their blindness. There's such a lack of education and awareness in our society about blindness, says Stephanie. I just want to use my platform to try and help individuals with disabilities who may be in situations like I've been in. To continue following Stephanie on her journey with Stargardt, visit her website and follow her on social media. There's a hot link for the website. From NFB.org, Future Reflections, Volume 43, Number 1, Winter 2024. A magazine for parents and teachers of blind children, published by the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults, in partnership with the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children. Deborah Kent Stein, editor. Copyright 2024 American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults. For more information about blindness and children, contact National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Convention Bulletin 2024. Join us for the biggest event of the year. Start planning your trip now. Wednesday, July 3rd through Monday, July 8, 2024, Orlando, Florida, at the Rosen Center. If this will be your first convention, or if you need a refresh, access our First Timer's Guide, https://nfb.org/get-involved/national-convention/first-timers-guide. Book your hotel room. For 2024 convention room reservations, please call the hotel at 800-204-7234. Ask for the NFB convention block. Here are important things to know about the rates and booking the room. Rates. Our 2024 convention room rate for singles and doubles is $129. The room rate for triples and quads is $139. Taxes and deposit. Occupancy taxes and surcharges are an additional 13.5%. There is no charge for children under 18 if no extra bed is requested. At the time you make a reservation, a deposit of $146 is required for each room reserved. If you use a credit card, the deposit will be charged against your card immediately, just as would be the case with a $146 check. Cancellations. If a reservation is canceled before Saturday, June 1st, 2024, half of the deposit will be returned. Otherwise, refunds will not be made. Amenities. Complimentary in-room Wi-Fi, in-room safe, coffee maker, mini fridge, hair dryer, and a wall-mounted 50-inch HD TV with multi-outlet connectivity bar beneath to keep your devices charged. Guests can enjoy a swimming pool, fitness center, and on-site spa. Please note that the hotel is a non-smoking facility. To assure yourself a room in the headquarters hotel at convention rates, you should make reservations early. The hotel will be ready to take your call beginning January 1. Registration. Online registration for convention opened in March. Registration will be $25 per person plus $75 per banquet ticket. Register early because prices go up if you register on site in Orlando. Registration includes the biggest event of the year, access to the event app, and communications on the latest news and events. Request for door prizes. Door prizes are submitted from state affiliates, local chapters, and individuals. Prizes should be small in size but large in value, at least $25. Cash is always appropriate and welcome. Please do not include alcohol. Drawings will occur throughout the convention sessions, with a grand prize of truly impressive proportions drawn at the banquet. If you have a prize that must be shipped in advance of the convention, please email affiliate president Paul Martinez at president@nfbflorida.org to make arrangements. Division, committee, group meetings. Over 200 sessions and meetings happen during convention. If you are the leader of a division, committee, or group that will meet at convention, please don't wait to organize. Start planning your agenda, goals, and connections now. Stay tuned for details from the convention chair, John Berggren, Berggren. Volunteers. Thank you to the hundreds of volunteers who helped make the NFB National Convention a big success. If you were interested in learning more about how to get involved, please connect with your state affiliate president. Register early to get access to all volunteer opportunities. Countdown to Orlando. The best collection of exhibits featuring new technology, meetings of our special interest groups, committees, and divisions, the most stimulating and provocative program items of any meeting of the blind in the world, the chance to renew friendships in our Federation family, and the unparalleled opportunity to be where the real action is and where decisions are being made. All of this means you will not want to miss being a part of the 2024 National Convention. We can't wait to be with you in Orlando in July. Visit nfb.org/convention for more convention details. Contents, learning and teaching, helping out, how chores at home may pave the way to future employment for blind youth, article by Julie Deeden. Hands-on, hands-off by Carlton Ann Cook Walker. Why the NFB is Bringing STEM to You, by Ashley Moon. The Philemon D. M. D'Agostino Greenberg Music School, Coupling Progressive Leadership with the Incredible Power of Music and Education, by Dahlia M. Sakas. The Path to Employment. We Have Work to Do. Reflections on Changing the Blind Employment Paradigm, by Mary Fernandez. Discovering My Passion, How My Life Experience Led Me to Become a School Social Worker, by Jalea Anderson. Technology, Teaching and Learning in Google Classroom, an Accessibility Review, by Brianne Cox and Sebastian WCISLO. Perspectives, Navigating Invisible Disabilities Alongside Blindness, a discussion moderated by Seyun Choi and Isabel Rosario. Beach, by Mia Barone. Reviews, Sense of Play, by Dana Meechan Rao, reviewed by Barbara Cheadle, C-H-E-A-D-L-E. Country of the Blind, A Memoir at the End of Sight, by Andrew Leland, reviewed by Deborah Kendrick. NOPBC News, meet Cassie McKinney, the new NOPBC president. Welcome to the 2024 NOPBC Convention, by Cassie McKinney. What's Happening? The 2024 Distinguished Educator of Blind Children Award, by Carla McQuillan. Expanding Possibilities Through Teachers of Tomorrow, by Anil Lewis. Ring the Bells in 2024, Summer Programs Equip Blind Teens for Success, by Julie Deeden. Braille Books Program, Empowering Minds and Fostering Literacy. Announcements. Why Join NOPBC? Are you the parent of a blind or low-vision child? Don't know where to turn? Have you ever wondered what your child will be capable of? Run out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please call 919 833